Well, we always want to have one of our favorites on for big shows like this. And so we reached out to our friend Perry Gilpin. I mentioned Perry couldn't be with us live today because she's going to pick up her daughter at college. But we had a chance to catch up with her right after last night's show. Hello, Perry.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. I think I'm glad. The weather's been terrible here. We've had nothing but rain for, I don't know, 6-7 days in a row.
Really?
Yeah. And not very warm. It's been kind of miserable, but it's June. We'll get through it. It'll be fine. We'll survive.
We have that here too. It's called June gloom.
Ugh.
And it's been happening a lot of May. Like a lot of May was like that, but today is actually just absolutely glorious. It's so pretty.
And I'm actually waiting for news of indictments because that will bring sunshine to my life.
That's right. So is that, I'm out of it today. Is that the next?
I think so. I mean, there were some rumors yesterday that it was coming fairly soon, but not soon enough for me. I wanted to wake up to it this morning. Hasn't happened yet.
Do you think it'll make any difference? Will he still be president again of the United States?
No, I think, which is why this is my theory, why all these other people are jumping in, because they know he's not going to be around this time next year.
Right.
We'll see. I've been wrong before about him, but I'm hopeful. I'm always hopeful.
I know. I'm just scared to, he wiggles out of everything somehow, and no one holds him. He's very rarely held accountable by the powers that be, and for some reason, I guess it's really, this is so unprecedented, and I kind of see why people are hesitant to indict or jail, or even try a former president because, the partisanship of it can make it sound like it's just partisan politics.
Mm.
Clearly it is not, but that party doesn't have a lot of dignity or pride in just facts right now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's talk about happier things. First of all, thank you for joining us for our 3,000th show.
Congratulations on your 3,000th show.
It's, 3,000 shows, almost 12 years. And we think out of those 3,000, there have been like 7 or 8 pretty good ones.
I think so, too, at least.
Well, all the ones that you've been on have been great.
Well, yeah, you have mine, and you have Tobolowsky's, and you have Paula Poundstone.
Right.
You've got, and then also John Davidson and Ken Burns, and you have so many people that are regulars, and then also I'm sure you have a lot of fun people that I don't even know about that are maybe locals or in sports or things like that.
We do have great guests here, and by congratulations too on being voted in by our listeners to the first class of the Downtown Hall of Fame, and you named a lot of the people that are in it. It's a pretty nice group of people that have been kind enough to not just come on once but keep coming back, and we're pretty happy about that and grateful to them all.
Well, it's always fun. It's always fun to talk politics with you.
Yeah, we try to do that and not tick off too many people along the way, but
I know.
That's our show, so what the heck.
But what I meant by what I said a minute ago is that there are a lot of great Republicans that are, that are doing their job, but and I guess they're starting to, like today I heard that Kevin McCarthy was explaining that, that this small group of people that wouldn't vote in whatever they were trying to do is in a retaliation for the debt ceiling. And he said, and then other people will follow suit. They'll go, oh, they're doing it. Maybe I should do it too. And I thought that was kind of great. It's the first thing I've heard him say in a long time that I thought, okay, he really, he speaks the truth about everything. I mean, on this.
Yeah.
I think he exaggerated a lot of stuff when they were arguing the debt ceiling. It was kind of silly.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm off that subject. You can edit me out.
No, my opinions out. Would never do that.
I'm begging you.
An exciting time for you. Your daughter's coming home from college.
Yes, they are. They're on their way home. And we're going to go get one tomorrow, and then we'll go get the other one next weekend. And It's a long drive. It's like 8 hours up to get one.
Oof, and wow.
But it's always, you know, it's so exciting that you don't mind. You just, you go and you chat. I mean, my husband and I have had so much time together alone in the past, since whatever, the last 9 or 10 months. And I don't know if there's anything else that we haven't covered. But, you know, you never know.
So that's how the empty nest has gone so far, huh?
It's been great. We've had a lot of fun, and we've traveled, and we've done some good, really fun stuff. And we have gotten to know each other again, and we talk, and we have a great time. It feels like before we had kids, you know. We've been having a great time, and I've really enjoyed it, you know. And I'm like just trying to get ready for the girls to come home and be and wonder what my function is, you know, because they're grown, but they still aren't fully grown. They need your advice, but they've been living by themselves all year, so they, you know, anything you say is a pain, you know. So you know what I mean? It's like I'm in that weird place as a mom, but that's okay. That's okay.
We're talking with Perry Gilpin here on Downhead. Speaking of your husband, I saw a couple of posts on social media of some of his artwork that is absolutely fabulous.
I agree. I think he's amazing. And thank you for saying that, Rich. It's very nice of you. And he does have a show up in New York right now until about mid-July, and his gallery's in Chelsea. It's called C24, and his work is just gorgeous. And one of the cool things about it is, I mean, his work is, I met him when he was having a show in L.A., so I bought a painting, and I got the artist. The artist came with it, which is really
good deal.
I didn't expect that. It was a really good deal. It was super. But I've always loved his work, and I knew his work because I met him through the showrunner on Frasier named Chris Lloyd, not the actor Christopher Lloyd, but Christopher Lloyd, the writer. And I knew Christian's work from their house because, you know, they would always entertain, and I would always see these paintings. And so I have always loved his work, and it's been such a fascinating 24 years of watching someone's, you know, work change and grow and move around. And, you know, like he had a guy, his studio was really close to the girls' elementary school. And once the school figured that out, he was at the school a lot more than he was in his studio, or the kids were at the studio, because he also is a great dad and loves kids. But his work really has, I don't want to know what the word is, morphed into different things. And so during the lockdown, he got to paint a lot and really experiment and, you know, maybe not like this painting, but like these things from this painting. And so these five paintings that are up in New York right now are just the best of the best of the best. And he sent them, we were there for opening, and it just looks amazing there. And it's so cool. So thanks for bringing that up.
And didn't some of his work make it on the air in some episodes of Frasier?
Yes, I do think so. And for some reason our line producer, Maggie Blanc, was also married to an artist named Jean-Francois, and several of his pieces were, like, there was one on the fridge, like, the little postcard for his show was on the refrigerator. And I'm just trying to think if anything of Christian's was on, it's not coming to mind. I don't know if anything of Christian's was actually in Frasier. But Kelsey owns pieces, and John Mahoney didn't. Actually, John Mahoney owned a couple of Christian's paintings before he even came to Frasier.
Oh, wow.
He was an art collector, and he knew Christian's work. So, you know, he also happened to know other people from the show, which was pretty interesting.
I also saw a picture of you two that you posted when you were in New York, and my God, you're good looking people. You both of you look absolutely fabulous.
Well, thank you. That's very nice.
It's got to be the love. It's got to be the love bringing it out of the two of you.
Right. We cleaned up nice. You know,
speaking of Frasier, I know you You don't know a whole lot about what's going on with the new reboot, but we do know the word got out that you will make an appearance in the reboot of Frasier. So can you tell us a little bit about what that experience was like?
It was just amazing. I can't even put it into words very well, because every other job I've ever worked on, I've loved. I've had amazing experiences, but I've always thought, God, I wish it was Frasier. I miss Frasier so much because I miss that, the fun of it. I don't know how to, I loved my character. I've loved other jobs, but I don't as much, but never more, you know? And so to be there, it was like, oh my God, I'm back on Frasier. I just can't believe it after all these years. And I was really happy about it. And Kelsey is just in the greatest form. He just steps into that role so effortlessly and just fills those shoes. It's like he becomes another person. He's such a good actor, but this guy is his alter ego, but there's other, you know, it's just somebody that he knows, you know, and it's a part of him. Frasier's a part of Kelsey. And he just is so charming in the role. And then the show itself has this amazing feel of, it's not exactly like the old show, you know, it's kind of brought on some other things, but with some other elements that work very well. And, but with a lot of good respect, like the good kind of respect for what the show used to be, and even what Cheers was before that, you know. So there's definitely a history, and there's definitely things people will recognize and, you know, respond to and, you know, be happy to see. And then there's some new elements that I don't think they'll be unhappy to see.
And I saw that Jimmy Burrows directed at least the pilot. Did he direct the episode you were on?
No, Kelsey did.
Oh, wow.
And I always love it when Kelsey directs, because he's really a great director. And I'm really mean it. I always loved his episodes. And he knows how to make it funny. And what was really interesting about this last episode that I just did, was we're shooting on May 2nd. And that was always the shoot date. And the WGA contract was up the 1st of May, and usually there's some kind of a grace period. I mean, there's usually a couple of weeks between, you know, before people actually go on strike if they feel like they need to. And with this, it was the writers came down on Monday and said, gosh, it just, you know, I think we might have to miss the taping. And I said, really? And they said, yeah, we could get an email at any time kind of saying that. And they did. They were gone that night. They didn't even come in on Tuesday, the day we shot the show, and they didn't even come to the studio, you know? And so it was very, very strange for that group of people not to be there. And, but Kelsey was directing, and he was sort of on his own in a lot of ways. And he really ran it. You know, he ran it. He had a lot of support from, of course, his cast and the crew. But he took over, and it was great. It was a great job.
Was it easy slipping back into the character of Roz?
Yeah, I was worried. I was very scared of it, because I thought, you know, I don't want to. How do you know if you're going to be able to do it or not? You know, unless you're doing it. You know, and I just thought there. And it was. They wrote great words for her, for me. They wrote for Roz. They wrote, you know, they got it. And it was a lot of fun. And I felt like I did a good job. I felt very good about it.
That's awesome. I can't wait to see that. Now, you mentioned the writers. What's the latest? I know SAG-AFTRA members have been voting on whether to join the writers in a strike. Is there any progress, anything closer to getting resolved on that end of things?
Well, I believe SAG has voted yes to authorizing a strike if it comes to that. So hopefully it won't come to that. But the board does have the power to do that, you know, to call a strike at this point. But I do think that that they're really in serious talks, and so I'm very hopeful that we won't go on strike. But I also, you know, I support the WGA. I support what they're asking for and what they want. I think it's fair. I think that they're asking for fairness, and so I think that they're going about it in the strongest way they can, and they're doing what they need to do, and I support it, is what I'm trying to say. And then the DGA did go ahead and make a contract, but then, like, the head of the DGA is Leslie Linka Glatter, who's so amazing. She directed Homeland, and she's a wonderful director. And I think she's in the middle of a movie with Robert De Niro, and I just read that that stopped production today.
Wow.
So it's sort of like, you know, we were fine with our contract, but we're in support of the WGA. That's what that seemed like to me. I could have gotten it wrong. But so I just think everybody's kind of on the same page. And there's just a, I just think we... Frank Marshall was interviewed in IndieWire today. I read his words and his wife, Kathleen Kennedy's. And, you know, it's just, there's a lot of new stuff to figure out. It's kind of a new ball game. It's not the same as it was. And as he said, there's a lot of different entry points.
Mm.
And there's a lot of different ways to make a movie now. And there's just, and make a film or make a television show. Or so it's sort of like, it's just really time to talk all through this and work it all out. And I loved what he said, because it was so hopeful, you know, and upbeat, and hopefully everybody will.
I hope so too. Well, we're certainly behind the writers here, and hope this all gets resolved and people can get back to work and do what they're doing. So it's our 3000th show. We're celebrating, we're having a little party here in studio, but yeah, I wanted to know, if Perry were hosting a party, what would be the essential elements of a good Perry party?
Well, you need to have a great cake.
Okay. All right. Cake sounds good.
I think hats are always a must. Whatever kind of hat, you know, it could be a cowboy hat, it could be a straw hat, it can be a pointed, you know, birthday hat. Just think everybody needs a hat. Even gloves are also great.
Nice, you know, white gloves, or like, you know, my work gloves when I'm out raking leaves.
Whatever you need, your gloves and hat. I also think, you know, masks can be great. I like it when everyone has on pantaloons.
Mm.
And I think that you have to have hamburgers. And grilled shrimp.
Oh, grilled shrimp. That sounds very nice.
And a margarita machine is a great element.
This party's coming together nicely. I like this, Carrie.
Yeah, I want to be on the guest list to that party. Yes.
Carrie,
that's how you should celebrate.
So Carrie, our producer and co-host here, he is moving to New Orleans. He's been planning this for years, and he's moving down in September. But was it last year or the year before that your wife came in for Mardi Gras and made bananas foster here in studio?
It was not this. So it was two Mardi Gras ago. So like a year and a half ago. Yeah, she came in and did up bananas fosters. Which is...
That was pretty good. And the time you brought in hurricanes and got us in the mood, that was quite nice.
Yes. The bananas fosters, that if you ever have good bananas fosters, that's like the best dessert in the world. I absolutely love that.
I don't know that I've ever had the real thing, like from New Orleans, but I'm putting that on my list.
We probably violated a lot of laws because we had an open flame here in the studio. I think they frown on that sort of thing, but I don't know.
Yeah, she does the traditional flaming of the rum, so you get that nice burst of fire that if our engineer had seen it, he would have been very unhappy.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah. What is she going to make something this year?
Unfortunately, I think she's working late tomorrow. Otherwise, I would beg her to come in studio and caramelize up some bananas.
You know,
we go with
Perry's idea. Margaritas are fine. I'm okay with that.
Oh my God, margaritas, some guacamole and chips. You got a party.
Perfect, perfect. Well, and what makes it a party for us is that you're here to help us celebrate, Perry. We appreciate it so much. It's great to talk with you. Did you get our little Hall of Fame memento that we sent out yet?
I don't think so. I haven't seen it.
All right,
you send it.
Just a few days ago. So keep your eyes open in the mail. You have a little something special coming your way.
Oh, I'll send you a picture. I'll put it up. That's so sweet. I loved my box of Maine last year. That was great.
Well, you'll like this, too. And we also sent along, you're under no obligation. We did this mostly as a joke, but we also sent along a temporary tattoo with the show logo. So, you know, if you feel really inspired and want to fly the downtown colors, but you know, no pressure.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Perry, thank you so much. Good luck picking up your daughters, and have a wonderful time. I know it's going to be a great summer for you. We look forward to seeing you back on Frasier when that's on the air, and it's good to talk with you as always. We'll do it again before too long.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Carrie. So great talking to you guys.